and a good Wednesday morning to you. Welcome into the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, X, and Facebook. Don't forget that you can take the show with you 24/7 on demand by checking out the Nick Craig Show in your favorite podcast app. You can also listen online by visiting the website nickcraig.com. Our show this morning is brought to you in part by The Law Group. Visit them online at lawgroupnc.com or give them a call at 910-251-6088. Well, unfortunately, southeastern North Carolina, Wilmington in the national spotlight this morning after a group of so-called tolerant leftists, right? We're always hearing about the tolerance on the left, right? No matter what the situation is, what the issue is, we are told that the Democrats and those on the political left are the tolerant ones, and we on the right, we conservatives, we Republicans, we just have no tolerance for anybody or anything. The tolerant left was on full display at UNCW yesterday as a group of, the only way to describe them as left-wing agitators, decided that they were going to pour paint on top of a memorial that had been set up on the UNCW Spirit Rock honoring Charlie Kirk. Now, this Spirit Rock was painted sometime on the late afternoon of Monday, and it read as original rock and the original artwork on it read as follows before it was defaced. If you believe in something, you need to have the courage to fight for those ideas, not to run away from them and try and silence them. Charlie Kirk, 1993 to 2025. It was a very nice memorial painted on the Spirit Rock at UNCW, which is a pretty normal thing when the Spirit Rock is exactly what it says it is. It is something that is a kind of a revolving piece of artwork on the campus over at the University of UNCW. And within less than 24 hours of this being set up, within 24 hours of students having a candlelight vigil memorial for Kirk, which happened Monday night at UNCW, as we talked about on the show yesterday, I was there, about 2,000 or so people in attendance paying their respects, paying their honor to Charlie Kirk. After just multiple hours after that, you had students that had to stay up all night on Monday night into Tuesday night, students staying up all night surrounding this rock so that left-wing agitators couldn't destroy it. And as of around 11 o'clock yesterday afternoon, well, the left-wing agitators did what they do best, which is destroy. It's all that the left knows how to do. Any sort of issue that is something that is taken up by the political left always ends one way. Every single time. It always ends in destruction. Whether we're talking about cities across the United States, whenever there's any sort of civil unrest, what's the result? Well, we'll burn your local city to the ground, all in the name of racial justice. We'll flip over police cars. We'll burn WeMos in the middle of the street. We'll throw bricks and frozen water bottles and shoot fireworks at police. That's all the left knows how to do, is to destroy. They can't build anything up. They can't respect anybody else's opinion. They have to destroy. It's the only thing that they know how to do. And so that was on full display over at UNCW yesterday. This is the end result of a makeshift trans flag, surprise, surprise, painted on the Spirit Rock over at UNCW, completely covering up the quote from Charlie Kirk, his picture, and of course, the semblance of an American flag on here with the red, white, and blue and a variety of stars, which was painted on that Spirit Rock on Monday throughout the day, probably mid-afternoon or so on Monday. And so, unfortunately, UNCW getting national news this morning, an article over at foxnews.com talking about it, the post itself trending on X this morning. One of the, if you're on X, you can see kind of the top news. And unfortunately, the top story, at least as it was just a little while ago, was vandals deface a Charlie Kirk memorial on UNCW Spirit Rock. So getting some national attention, not for a good reason, for our university here in southeastern North Carolina. And this is the situation as it unfolded yesterday. It started off with an individual walking up to the Spirit Rock with a can of some small can of blue paint, trying to paint over it. And you can see all of the students, all of the people that stood on campus overnight. And you can see this left-wing lunatic agitator, this entitled student, painting over the rock. And this is, again, all that the left is good for. This is all they have been supporting. Here's the, look, notice what's going on here. This entitled brat over at UNCW, by the way, says she hates the school. So as a resident of southeastern North Carolina, we don't want you here. She talked about how much she wished she was at Chapel Hill. Go to Chapel Hill. We don't want your ass here in Wilmington. Get out. This is not the stuff that we stand for in southeastern North Carolina. I know that's what everybody loves at Chapel Hill. Go to Chapel Hill. Nobody wants you here. But notice the difference between how the right and left handles issues. None of the individuals in the crowd are assaulting her. None of the individuals in the crowd are beating her over the head with her own paint bucket. They aren't pushing her. They aren't shoving her. They're actually praying for her. And this is why the topic, the title of Monday's show was, "We're Not the Same." Because we're not. This video is yet another key example of the stark difference between the left and the right. A glaring difference with how one political party and folks that are subscribed to a political ideology handle things versus another. It's not even comparable. She was not assaulted. She was not beaten. She was not pushed. She was not shoved. She was not even yelled and screamed at by the crowd. They stood back, again, because they're not criminals, so they're not going to assault somebody. Right? Here on the right, we believe in the rule of law. We believe in laws that are on the books. We believe it's not okay to break those laws. She wasn't assaulted. She wasn't attacked. Nobody threw paint on her. Nobody took her paint can and launched it across campuses, as much as I'm sure some of them wanted to. They showed incredible restraint. They showed and pointed out once again that we are not the same. We're just not. And so I posted this video on my X account this afternoon. It was texted to me yesterday afternoon, and it has exploded up to 3.5 million views on X. I'm going to play it for those listening on the audio version of the podcast. This is a something that definitely requires some level of video element. So you can head on over to my X account at Nicholas M. Craig, or head on over to the Nick Craig Show Facebook page and see this video. This is the back and forth between this student whose name I don't know. There are names in the comments. I don't know who this person is. I don't particularly care. This is the back and forth exchange after the group of students protecting the Spirit Rock, protecting the monument of Charlie Kirk that was less than 24 hours old at that point. This is the back and forth exchange between her and the individuals on campus yesterday. Take a listen. And listen to the restraint, the calm nature, the calm manner of these students, some of them presumably staying up literally all night to just sit and stand around this Spirit Rock because of the risk that those on the left would deface it and destroy it, which is exactly what they ended up doing. Exactly what they ended up doing. Take a listen to this.
Just so you guys know, I'm fully religious too.
I do, but Charlie Kirk is definitely not the morals I support or the religion I support, where you're just taught to love your neighbor.
Well, our religion
teaches respect.
Yeah, respect.
Love your neighbor.
You're
right, I'm not judging. It is not my right to judge. But it is also not your right to judge either.
Nope, we're here protecting somebody. Respect. We're not here judging.
And we're not the ones.
If we were judging, we would be taking our paint can and dumping it on you, but we're not, are we?
No.
If someone has
okay, to pay, I'm all the time. It will, hopefully. If not, it's a price I gotta pay.
Oh, how brave. The price she has to pay.
I'm sorry, I did not mean to step on it.
How brave of this 21-year-old on college campus.
I only came over here.
Yeah, the paint covering the glass.
And you've got this soy boy douchebag doing the same thing, pulling out a paint roller and painting over it as well. Real brave, right?
She was pushing people out of the way.
No, I'm more than happy to speak. Sorry, I'm more than happy to speak. Okay. Do you want to speak here?
Yeah, we'll speak over.
Okay.
If someone wants to move these flags, I don't necessarily want to get any paint on them.
It doesn't really matter. You've already covered everything else in paint, so I don't.
I don't want to cover up the flag portion at all. Just the person on it. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Dude, I'm so glad I'm not you.
You want to move the signs or? Let me get this because she did cover you in paint and she did put her hands on you.
She did. She pushed me.
Yeah.
The smug, smart-ass nature of these uninformed morons on the campus of UNCW on full display yesterday. I mean, look at the smug nature on this idiot's face. She doesn't even know how to use a freaking paintbrush. That just goes to show you the quality of our education system. She's trying to stick probably an 8-inch paint roller into a 2-inch diameter paint can. Has no idea how that works. All of the great skills that our public education system teaches here in the United States. This jackass can't even figure out how to use a paint roller. This is the tolerant left. This is everything that they embody fully displayed. And then you have to listen to them. Oh, I'm not trying to. I don't want to deface the American flag that's on it. I don't want to cover it in paint. As you splashed blue paint all over the entire thing, now you're going to take some moral high ground. I don't want to cover the American flag. These are the same people that are burning American flags on streets across the United States. And this is the group of individuals that, again, once again, we are told are tolerant, that want individuals to be able to express their ideas. Right, this is the political left, who is, you are well aware, as you have been told ad nauseum by media, by those themselves, they are the party of tolerance. The Republicans and the conservatives and Trump and everybody else, Charlie Kirk and everybody else associated with them, we are the ones that don't want ideas to be spread, right? We are the ones that are bigoted in our beliefs. We're the ones that try and shut people down for the things that they believe. These are the things that you're told about yourself. Meanwhile, a memorial to an individual who was politically assassinated now 1 week ago today can't sit on the campus of UNCW for less than a day without vandals coming, assaulting individuals in the crowd, and pouring paint all over it. This is the tolerance that exists on the Democrat Party. I was having a conversation with a buddy of mine last night, and we were talking politics, no surprise there. And I continue to stand by my point that the Democrat Party is in shambles. The Democrat Party has absolutely no identity at this point. They have no issues. They have no ideas. They have no agenda. They have nothing. Absolutely nothing. And it is blatantly obvious when this is the result that is unfolding on college campuses. They have nothing. We are 13 months away from a midterm election, which should, by the way, favor the Democrats. Historically, the party in power does not have a good midterm election. We're 13 months away from the midterms, and the Democrat Party is spinning in circles. I mean, it is in complete and total shambles this morning. No ideas, no platform, no way forward, nothing. They can't claim tolerance. They just shot and killed one of their political enemies, murdered him in front of 3,000 people, including his wife and one-year-old daughter. So they can't claim that they're the party of tolerance. They want conservatives, they want Republicans to be killed in the public square. So they can't claim that. What are they? Oh, Trump's a racist. Oh, wow. That's new. I haven't heard that for the last decade. That's not a political stance. That's not something that's going to move their party towards success in November. And I genuinely am shocked this far removed. We're almost a year removed from that last November's election. I am genuinely shocked that they have not figured out what their path forward is. Yet here we are, midway through the month of September, 2025. And they've got nothing. They're sending their surrogates out to shoot and kill people they disagree with. And when a memorial is set up, I played the clip earlier in the week of an individual kicking through a memorial set up in front of the TPUSA office. You just saw the video and pictures on the campus of UNCW yesterday of the so-called tolerant left. You have to listen to this. Sorority girl tell you about how she's religious and Charlie Kirk was a racist. Man, very insightful information there. They've got nothing. They have got absolutely nothing. But you and I are wrong in our beliefs, right? You and I don't have any leg to stand on with any of this. We're the problem. It's not them. It's not the group that is cheering on the assassination of their political opponents. It's not the 37% of Democrats that believe it is okay to use violence against your political enemies. They're not the problem at all. It's us. Absolute shambles for the Democrat Party this morning. Absolute shambles for the progressive left. I don't see a path forward for them right now. What's their identity? What are they going to stand on? Defacing morals, memorials? Cheering on the death of a 31-year-old father at two? That's a hell of a political strategy. I'm sure the American voting population will be quick to surround themselves with those individuals. I mean, give me a freaking break. So there's been, as you can imagine, some significant reaction to this now that it has gained significant national attention over the last, probably 14 or 15 hours or so. The video that I posted up on my X account, just going to refresh and see where that's at this morning, at 3.7 million views. And so it's getting some major national attention, and we're getting some commentary coming in locally as well, including that of Woody White. That name sounds familiar too. Woody was previously a member of the New Hanover County Board of Commissioners here in southeastern North Carolina. However, now he sits on the UNC system, not the UNCW, but the overall UNC system, which is responsible for all UNC schools across the state. He now sits on the Board of Trustees for the UNC system. And he released this statement on his X account yesterday evening in response to that video that I just showed you. And he writes, "For too long on many American campuses, left-wing activists were emboldened by weak and feckless leadership that allowed one-sided conversations to own public spaces, squelch and censor opposing points of view, and rule in a questafim form without much competition. Conservative students feared reputational damage for expressing themselves and feared receiving poor grades from liberal professors if they chose to speak up in class, and in some cases, feared for their safety as more and more militant students said it was okay to commit violence over political disagreements. But then things started to change. Conservative students slowly began to emerge from the shadows and speak up more frequently about their beliefs and desire for more thought diversity," right? Diversity. The left loves diversity. "A growing number of campuses and system leaders began to support these efforts, and the tide began to turn. Then 6 days ago, a young man died on a college campus in Utah while expressing his own beliefs, and the pendulum accelerated its swing, as evidence what happened at UNCW today. The painting over the Spirit Rock near the amphitheater and the rude disregard by left-wing activists of the unwritten rules of when and how to appropriately express their own points of view is indicative of the depth of the problem. Where once actions as this went unaddressed or campus leaders just looked the other way, now a growing number of students, like the young people standing up for Charlie this morning were doing, are saying enough. and we are witnessing conservative students show up with their own buckets of paint and their own messages. And this infuriates those who had previously enjoyed a monopoly with regard to activity like this. I first heard about the situation midday, this would be midday yesterday, from multiple sources and subsequently communicated at length with the UNCW Board of Trustees members, the Chancellor, and the young ladies with Turning Point USA's UNCW chapter. I commend her for her poise and grace in the face of what could have been a much uglier scene, and I assured her that I and many others support her and her peers, and will continue standing up to ensure that the rights of free expression are protected, and that they can grow and thrive on campus that not only values their ideals, but commits resources to protect them from everyone. As I understand it, there is no formal review process underway to determine whether there were student code violations. However, former Commissioner Woody White says it appeared to me from all the evidence I saw that there were, whether campus police acted appropriately, and I know the administration and UNCW leadership takes this seriously, as they should. He then goes on to say, sadly, there will be more of these events on campuses, and it's important for campus leaders to provide clear and unequivocal support to all students by strictly enforcing codes of conduct and maintaining order. Regrettably, there is a small contingent of students on every campus that do not want civil interaction, do not care much for codes of conduct or authority, and instead wish to spread chaos, anarchy, and use threats of violence to silence those with whom they disagree. Such views have no place at UNCW or anywhere else in North Carolina, and those students should conform their behavior to the rules or be expelled. An absolutely spot-on, bang-on statement there from former County Commissioner, now UNC Board of Trustee member Woody White, really laying out the situation and really laying out the history of where we were just a couple of years ago. I mean, do you remember back during the first Trump term, even before the first Trump term, late 2015 into the spring and summer of 2016? If you were a kid on a college campus and you did anything that could have even been deemed close to in support of the major party Republican candidate of the United States, you had to worry about being treated differently. You had to worry about your professors treating you in an unjust, unfair way because of the situation that was happening politically. You deserve to be treated a different way because you supported Donald Trump, or maybe you didn't even support him. Maybe you thought he was an interesting character and you might vote for him. That was the situation not long ago on college campuses. We saw the rise during the first Trump administration of conservatives being assaulted. We saw situations of conservatives on campus having to self-censor themselves, which means you just keep your damn mouth shut because you're feared that there will be some sort of retribution for your thoughts. This is all taking place on so-called institutions of higher learning. This is happening on places where we're told by the political left, you're allowed to express your speech. The party of diversity has no interest in any diversity of thought. They'll claim diversity when they look at somebody's skin color. They want that kind of diversity. But they want nothing to do with individuals having different thoughts and different opinions. And it really shines onto the hypocrisy that exists on the political left. And it's no surprise. It's very consistent. They've been this way for now a pretty significant period of time. This is not a new idea that just popped out of the woodwork since last Wednesday. This has been a growing issue within the Democrat Party. This has been a growing issue amongst more progressive movements that have attempted to take a stronger hold within the Democrat Party. And there's no answer for it. There's no way to even defend it. We saw some additional commentary coming in as well. County Commissioner Dane Scalise, who is a newly appointed member to the UNCW Board of Trustees. Woody White, who we just heard from, is on the overarching UNC system Board of Trustees. Dane Scalise, County Commissioner here, he is on the local UNCW Board of Trustees. He took to social media last night as well and said this, quote, "This is a local example of what we are contending with a very divided America. Yes, these individuals were allowed to eventually paint over the mural honoring Charlie Kirk on UNCW's campus. However, they weren't supposed to do it for a period of 24 hours. College Republicans and TPUSA representatives stood in defense of that mural overnight to ensure that the sign of courtesy was respected, but it wasn't. Instead, those who oppose this particular expression of free speech yelled and forced their way into a free speech space in order to repaint the rock and in the process splash paint on those who were protecting the Kirk mural. Even if this is, quote, allowed, it isn't right. It is disrespectful and only serves to further divide us all. I honor the protectors who use their only words and faith and didn't engage in violence despite these provocations. They are truly representative of our American ideals and principles." Phenomenal comment there from County Commissioner, also UNC Board of Trustee member Dane Scalise about the situation unfolding on the campus. And again, nobody was of the mindset. I know there's a lot of folks, of course, commenting and talking about this because it's now making pretty big national news. This rock is meant to be changed out frequently. It's a spirit rock. There is nothing that says that it needs to exist forever. And I don't think anybody that painted it, anybody that was protecting it, was expecting this to now be a permanent fixture on the college campus. That's not what it's intended to be. That's never what it's intended to be. It is an honor system and it is a trust system. When you've got individuals that are literally having to stand guard overnight, sleep outside on the grass in front of a freaking rock on the campus of UNCW because Democrats are so far out of their minds that you can absolutely guarantee if that had not happened Monday night into Tuesday, that daybreak Tuesday morning, that rock would have already been covered in paint. That is the progressive left. They have no respect for anything or anyone. They have no semblance of any sort of moral conduct or moral code, right? They can try and pass off this bullshit about how, oh, I'm religious too, and I don't judge people, and I want to love my neighbor. Really? That's the words from the sorority girl who was pouring paint all over the rock and students yesterday. Really? You love thy neighbor? You're going to go all religious on us as you deface a mural of a 31-year-old man who was shot in the neck a week ago, killed in cold blood in front of 3,000 people? You're going to profess your stance and your faith on love thy neighbor? It's absurd. It's not based in any sort of fact or reality. It's a cheap talking point, which is all the left is good for. Cheap talking points. Getting some commentary in on our Rumble live chat this morning. John says UNCW should take the rock away. It seems like that's probably what might end up happening. Because it's funny, I remember during the Summer of Peace and Love in 2020, when Black Lives Matter murals were painted all over that rock. And I don't remember any of the college Republican students. I don't remember any of the Turning Point USA students. I don't remember them showing up in the middle of the night and pouring paint all over that. I don't remember that happening. And the reason I don't remember it happening is because it, well, didn't happen. Again, we're not the same as them. And, you know, over the last week or so, we've heard a lot of calls, predominantly on the political left, for unity. We need more unity. We need to come together. We need to stand strong as an American populace. We need to unify. We need to stand strong and say, we do not condone political violence. These are the kinds of things you've heard from the left. And so after you watch that video on UNCW's campus yesterday. After you see this picture of a makeshift trans flag, which we'll get into, the trans movement once again. After you see this picture, after you watch the ludicrous actions of those on the political left, I ask this question, and I ask it as genuinely as I possibly can. How do you unify with this? I mean, critically, I'm a critical thinker, as most of you are. How do you unify with this? How do you unify with people that have no respect for anything that you believe? How do you unify with that? Tell me how you unify with this. How do you go through the process of everybody coming together and how do you begin the process of doing that? I'm genuinely at a loss for how to handle that this morning. How do you do it? These individuals prove they have no moral character. These individuals prove that they have absolutely no willingness to follow any sort of social or cultural norms which have existed in the case of the Spirit Rock at UNCW for decades. It's a very clear process. You don't paint over the rock within a 24-hour period of time. These individuals are unwilling to follow that. It's a pretty simple thing. It's not a written rule, but it is a very well-known thing. The rock over at UNCW, the Spirit Rock, stays strong for 24 hours. How do you coexist with people that can't even beat that through their incredibly small peanut-sized brains? How am I supposed to unify with them? How are we as a nation supposed to unify when this is an acceptable action? Oh, hey, can you move these American flags? I don't want to get paint all over them. Oh, don't worry, jackass. You've already drenched them in paint. But I'm glad now that you're going to profess your support or your care for the American flag. How do you do it, folks? I don't know. It's not often. Anybody that's been with me for any significant period of time, you know I talked about this on the radio a lot. I'm not somebody to complain about issues unless I have a solution. And I generally try not to talk about or express my overt opinion on something unless I have some sort of solution. I'm genuinely at a loss this morning. And I've been at a loss now for the last 7 days. I don't know how you unify with this. I don't know how you unify with what I saw in this video yesterday afternoon. How do you do it? I'm open to ideas. I'm a critical thinker. I love being challenged on my thoughts. I love having debate and discussion, unlike those on the left. How do you unify with this? The smug, smart-ass smile from this student on campus who can't even figure out how to use a freaking paint roller. How do you unify with that? The brave, condescending nature of these individuals. How do you do it? Sorry to sound like a broken record, but I just don't get it. I don't know how you do it. We got a great comment coming in on our Rumble live chat this morning. You can't unify or coexist with people who hate you and your beliefs. It's kind of where I'm at. I mean, when you've got a YouGov poll, this was out a couple of days ago. I think, I don't remember if I talked about this on this show or if that was on the other program. But when you've got a poll that shows that over 30% of people are okay with political violence, what do you do with that? This is the poll from YouGov, pretty reputable outlet, at least in my vantage point. And you look at a question that they asked. Here was their question. Do you genuinely consider it to be acceptable or unacceptable for a person to be happy about the death of a public figure that they oppose? It's a pretty simple question. This was a poll of almost 4,000 people, I'll note. So it's, you know, not a super small sample size. 4,000 people is a decent size for a political poll. Do you genuinely consider it to be acceptable or unacceptable for a person to be happy about the death of a public figure they oppose? Pretty simple question. Okay. Let's look through the numbers. This is what it looks like. You've got 4% of Democrats that say it's always acceptable, usually acceptable, 7%, 33% usually unacceptable, just usually. Not all the time. And only 38% that say it's always unacceptable. So you do the math on that. If only 38% of Democrats say it's always unacceptable, where does everybody else fall? And who's the definer of usually unacceptable? I mean, it might usually be unacceptable unless you're, of course, killing a Nazi, which, of course, Charlie Kirk was, according to those on the political left. This is a disastrous poll for those on the left. This is a disastrous situation that they're in right now. I don't know how they continue to move forward with that. And then I caught this poll yesterday, another poll by another news service that found that a staggering 26% of those aged 18 to 34 answered yes to the following question. While it is always difficult to wish ill of other human beings, is America better off now that Charlie Kirk has been killed? 26% responded to that poll, 18 to 34 years of age, and said yes. So it's a good thing. America will be a better country because Charlie Kirk was assassinated. That's what this poll says. Out of the 26% that responded yes, 24% of them were Democrats. So I'll ask you the question one more time. How do you unify with that? How do you lock arms? How do you come together and find a path forward? How do you march forward as one United States of America when that is going on? It's not a trick question. I'm not trying to be a smartass about it. It is a genuine question that is on my mind this morning. How do you unify with that? And that is the situation that is unfortunately unfolding. That is the unfortunate reality of what is going on this morning. And this is something that the Democrat Party is going to have to answer for before the November midterm elections next year. When you've got one in four Democrats saying, well, you know, it sucks that people die, but America's probably better off without them. Man, that's not a statistical error. That's not a one-off, oh, you just got a couple of bad people in your poll. No, one in four Democrats say that America is better off now that Charlie Kirk was shot and killed, politically assassinated at an event at Utah Valley University last Wednesday. Disastrous. Now, what should happen to these kids over at UNCW? It's a great question. I think the chancellor needs to now either figure out, and the Board of Trustees needs to figure out if they set up an official policy for the Spirit Rock, or they need to take it off campus. I hate to say that, but they have no choice. Because if it's not going to be respected by those on the political left, then you can't have it. If it's not going to be respected by them, and they're going to break the trust system, break the honor system, which is, again, no surprise for the left. It's the only thing they can do. Death and destruction is all that they know. I don't get it. Jolene is commenting on our Facebook live chat this morning. She says, I'm trying to answer, Nick, but I really don't know. Yeah. Unfortunately, Jolene, you're not alone. I think a lot of folks are in that mind space and headspace this morning. You just don't know. When this is the kind of rhetoric, and this is the way that these individuals act. Less than 24 hours after more than 2,000 individuals gathered just feet away from this to pay their respects to a man, many of which they enjoyed watching, they were inspired by. Less than 24 hours later, this is what's unfolding. What do you do? I don't know. I genuinely don't. So, again, unfortunate that that UNCW is in the news. They did release a statement, which I thought was, as always, pretty lackluster because, these colleges have to constantly run with their tail between their legs. This was the statement that UNCW released yesterday. Quote, the UNCW Spirit Rock is not a memorial. It is a platform for freedom of expression, Students typically paint the rock multiple times per week. Out of courtesy, students are asked to leave the artwork for at least 24 hours before repainting, but no policy requires this. The chancellor, then the statement goes on to say, UNCW is proud to serve as a public university, open to the community and commitment to upholding freedom of expression in accordance with applicable laws and policies. In addition, UNCW encourages and expects students, faculty and staff to foster a respectful campus community. So there's your typical half-assed, lackluster, oh, we don't want to offend anybody, response from UNCW. Out of courtesy. That's what the statement reads. Out of courtesy, students are asked to leave artwork for at least 24 hours. So when you've got a side, one side of the aisle, that being those on the political left, that are not interested in showing their fellow Americans, their fellow students, their fellow classmates, when they're not interested in showing them any courtesy, how do you expect me to get together with these people? How do you expect me to unify and rally forward as a country? You can't, folks. It just doesn't exist. I don't see any path forward on it. It sucks. It's unfortunate. But it's actions like that that will continue to lead to the divide. And I think Commissioner Dane Scalise said it very well in his statement on X last night. This is a local example of what we are contending with a very divided America. Exactly the case. And unfortunately, it's probably only going to get worse when you have no common decency, no common respect for anybody else. None. Zero whatsoever. It only can get worse. So it's unfortunate that UNCW, which for a long time has been known as a great institution, unfortunate that they're in the national news and national spotlight this morning for a bunch of jackass liberals acting as you would expect them to do. Over at UNCW, we'll see if the Board of Trustees has anything to say as their next meeting comes up. We'll keep an eye on the details. Again, for those listening to the podcast, we, of course, are our largest audience on the audio podcast form of the show. You can head on over to my X account at Nicholas M. Craig and see that video. You can also check it out on the Nick Craig Show Facebook page or throughout the regular video version of the program available on YouTube, Rumble, X, and Facebook. Before we get into some details, prosecutors announcing charges in the Charlie Kirk assassination case yesterday in Utah, I do want to let you know that this show is only possible thanks to our great advertisers and supporters. That includes the Law Group. When legal challenges arise, make sure you put your trust in Melissa Gott and the team over at the Law Group here in Wilmington. For now 22 years, since 2003, their experienced attorneys have provided high-quality, affordable legal services across the eastern half of North Carolina. Whether you're facing a divorce, navigating a real estate transaction, or maybe you're in a position where you need a strong criminal defense, the Law Group has your back. Their dedicated team ensures your questions are answered and issues are resolved as quickly as possible. Great news, folks. They're located in downtown Wilmington and just a phone call away at 910-251-6088, or you can visit them on the line, their website, lawgroupnc.com. Give them a call, 910-251-6088 or lawgroupnc.com. The Law Group, experience and dedication you can rely on. For any legal challenges across our state, give the Law Group a call, 910-251-6088. We'll continue. We'll take you to Utah after a quick break and introduce you to the attorney in Utah County who is going to be prosecuting the case against Tyler Robinson, the 22-year-old individual charged in the assassination of Charlie Kirk. We'll get into those details coming up as the Nick Craig Show rolls on, streaming live each and every weekday morning, 7 a.m., YouTube, Rumble, X, Facebook, and 24/7, wherever you get your podcasts. Good Wednesday morning to you. Welcome back to the Nick Craig Show. Thanks for spending some time with us either live or after the fact via our podcast this morning. Don't forget that you can get access to a bonus content, including a daily show notes and more. All of that available over at patreon.com/Nick Craig. Support the show financially and keep us on the air each and every weekday morning. Patreon.com/Nick Craig. Thanks to our great group of sponsors like the Law Group and our backers over on Patreon that allow me to do this uncensored, uncontrolled, no corporate media enterprise each and every weekday morning. All right, we turn our attention to Utah now, as prosecutors and attorneys in Utah County, where Charlie Kirk was murdered 1 week ago, announced charges in the case yesterday. Here is the Utah County attorney who announced those charges yesterday afternoon. Take a listen.
Today, after reviewing the evidence that law enforcement has collected thus far, I am filing a criminal information charging Tyler James Robinson, age 22, with the following crimes. Count one, aggravated murder, a capital offense, for intentionally or knowingly causing the death of Charlie Kirk under circumstances that created a great risk of death to others. Count two, felony discharge of a firearm causing serious bodily injury, a first-degree felony. The state is further alleging aggravating factors on counts one and two because the defendant is believed to have targeted Charlie Kirk based on Charlie Kirk's political expression and did so knowing that children were present and would witness the homicide. The state is also charging defendant with count three, obstruction of justice, a second degree felony, for moving and concealing the rifle used in the shooting. Count four, obstruction of justice, a second degree felony for disposing the clothing he wore during the shooting. Count five, witness tampering, a third degree felony for directing his roommate to delete his incriminating texts. Count six, witness tampering, a third degree felony for directing his roommate to stay silent if police questioned him.
And as you heard there from the Utah attorney going through some of those charges, the capital punishment is eligible in the charge of aggravated murder, which is exactly what unfolded at Utah Valley University. At least that's what prosecutors are alleging. And anybody that watched the situation unfold, it was pretty obvious and pretty clear to you watching this situation unfold 1 week ago. One of the things that has been really not necessarily brought forth yet as the criminal justice system plays out, of course, you don't want people and people like Cash Patel and Dan Bongino, you don't want them going on national television or even local television or radio and potentially risking this case. So you had to wait for these charges to be filed. And the Utah County attorney really walked through some of the timelines and some of the information that that they believe is going to be helpful in prosecuting Tyler Robinson, the 22-year-old that pulled the trigger 1 week ago. I thought this was interesting. It's a little bit of a lengthy clip, but it was a very insightful, and I learned a lot of new information that previously I don't think was available. Take a listen.
James Robinson went to the Washington County Sheriff's Office with his parents and a family friend to turn himself in. Robinson's mother stated that the following to police. On September 11, 2025, the day after the shooting, Robinson's mother saw the photo of the shooter in the news and thought the shooter looked like her son. Robinson's mother called her son and asked him where he was. He said he was at home sick, and that he had also been at homesick on September 10th. Robinson's mother expressed concern to her husband that the suspect shooter looked like Robinson. Robinson's father agreed. Robinson's mother explained that over the last year or so, Robinson had become more political and had started to lean more to the left, becoming more pro-gay and trans rights oriented. She stated that Robinson began to date his roommate, a biological male who was transitioning genders.
This is an incredibly relevant point in this case for, to me, a couple of reasons, but the one that is right comes right off the top of my head. The reason that this trans gay thing is relevant in this case is because you have heard major people on the political left over the last couple of years claim that people like Donald Trump and by extension, Charlie Kirk, you, me, folks that believe and think the things that we do, that we are trying to erase, these are the words that they use, erase trans people from our society, that we are threatening their very existence as human beings. If you are told that an entire political party wants you erased from society, that would make you pretty crazy, wouldn't it? That might egg on you to commit an atrocious act of violence, which is what Tyler Robinson did. That, to me, is the relevance of this. You have seen so much commentary on the political left about what the so-called right believes and thinks about the trans or gay or LGBTQ, whatever the hell acronym, community that exists. That has a huge, I would think, will have a huge impact as this case continues to play out. More from the Utah County Attorney.
This resulted in several discussions with family members, but especially between Robinson and his father, who have very different political views. In one conversation before the shooting, Robinson mentioned that Charlie Kirk would be holding an event at UVU, which Robinson said was a stupid venue for the event. Robinson accused Kirk of spreading hate. Robinson's father reported that when his wife showed him the surveillance image of the suspected shooter in the news, he agreed that it looked like their son. He also believed that the rifle that police suspected the shooter used matched a rifle that was given to his son as a gift. As a result, Robinson's father contacted his son and asked him to send a photo of the rifle. Robinson did not respond. However, Robinson's father spoke on the phone with Robinson. Robinson implied that he planned to take his own life. Robinson's parents were able to convince him to meet at their home. As they discussed the situation, Robinson implied that he was the shooter and stated that he couldn't go to jail and just wanted to end it. When asked why he did it, Robinson explained there is too much evil and the guy, referring to Charlie Kirk, spreads too much hate.
Again, this is the radicalization that we're talking about. What hate was Charlie Kirk spreading? You know, all of these videos, all of these, his hundreds of campus tours, his 3-hour podcast that he did every day. If he was on the air claiming that trans people needed to be erased from our society each and every day, I think we would know that. This was a guy that was an incredibly public figure. He was on social media in audio video form or posting on social media literally every single day. This is what happens when you demonize individuals that you have political disagreements with. This is what happens when you dehumanize people and lie about them. You convince deranged, mentally ill individuals that it is okay to kill them because they are a hateful person. They have hate in their heart. That's the kind of dangerous rhetoric that is peddled by the left that they are going to have to answer for. More from the Utah attorney.
Talked about Robinson turning himself in and convinced Robinson to speak with a family friend who is a retired deputy sheriff. At Robinson's father's request, the family friend met with Robinson and his parents and convinced Robinson to turn himself in. The family friend spoke to police and reported telling Robinson that it would be best if he brought all evidence with him to the sheriff's office to avoid police having to search his parents' home. The friend also asked Robinson if he had any clothes that were related to what he did. Robinson replied that he had disposed of the clothes in different areas. The roommate. Police interviewed Robinson's roommate, a biological male who was involved in a romantic relationship with Robinson. The roommate told police that the roommate received messages from Robinson about the shooting, and he did provide those messages to police. On September 10th, 2025, the roommate received a text message from Robinson which said, "Drop what you're doing. Look under my keyboard." The roommate looked under the keyboard and found a note that stated, quote, "I had the opportunity to take out Charlie Kirk, and I'm going to take it." Police found a photograph of this note. The following exchange, text exchange, then took place. After reading the note, the roommate responded, "What? You're joking, right?" Robinson, "I am still okay, my love, but I'm stuck in Orem for a little while longer yet. Shouldn't be long until I can come home, but I gotta grab my rifle still. To be honest, I had hoped to keep this secret till I died of old age. I am sorry to involve you."
I'm going to just stop that there for a second. This just plays into the mental illness that exists here. Tyler Robinson thought that he was just going to get away with this. He was going to keep it with him until he died of old age. He's freaking 22 years old. So you were going to live another, what, 60 plus years? And nobody was ever going to find out. There was never going to be any information to tie you to this crime. Severe mental illness on behalf of the shooter. No surprise with the actions that they took. But what a crazy thing to say. With our current age of technological advancements, with surveillance literally everywhere, especially on a freaking college campus. This didn't happen in the middle of the woods. This happened on a prominent college campus in Utah. I'm just going to be able to skirt under this. I was just hoping to take this with me to my deathbed when I died of old age. Really bizarre commentary from Tyler Robinson.
Roommate, you weren't the one who did it, right? Robinson, I am. I'm sorry. Roommate, I thought they caught the person. Robinson, no, they grabbed some crazy old dude, then interrogated someone in similar clothing. I had planned to grab my rifle from my drop point shortly after, but most of that side of town got locked down. It's quiet, almost enough to get out, but there's one vehicle lingering. Roommate, why? Robinson, why did I do it? Roommate, yeah. Robinson, I had enough of his hatred. Some hate can't be negotiated out. If I am able to grab my rifle unseen, I will have left no evidence.
Again. You're just going to pick up your rifle that you discarded right next to the campus and just walk away scot-free? Freaking derangement, man. I mean, it's complete insanity. And again, with the hatred and the evil, Charlie Kirk was such a hateful, racist bigot that he deserved to be shot and killed. This is the kind of rhetoric that the Democrat Party is going to have to answer for. Their friends that control and operate the mainstream media, this is the kind of rhetoric that they absolutely need to answer for before they have any more discussions about turning down the political temperature or we need to unify as a country. None of that is possible without them having some level of understanding and acceptance as to the things that they say and the unfortunate actions that they can provoke.
Going to attempt to retrieve it again. Hopefully they have moved on. I haven't seen anything about them finding it. Roommate, how long have you been planning this? Robinson, a bit over a week, I believe. I can get close to it, but there is a squad car parked right by it. I think they already swept that spot, but I don't want to chance it. Robinson again, I'm wishing I had circled back and grabbed it as soon as I got to my vehicle. I'm worried what my old man would do if I didn't bring back Grandpa's rifle. IDEK, if it's had a serial number, but it wouldn't trace to me. I worry about prints. I had to leave it in a bush where I changed outfits. Didn't have the ability or time to bring it with. I might have to abandon it and hope they don't find prints. How the F will I explain losing it to my old man? Only thing I left was the rifle wrapped in a towel. Remember how I was engraving bullets? The F in messages are mostly a big meme. If I see notice bulge UWU on Fox News, I might have a stroke, all right. I'm going to have to leave it. That really effing sucks. Judging from today, I'd say Grandpa's gun does just fine, IDK. I think that was a $2K dollar scope. Wink, wink. Robinson again, delete this exchange. Again, Robinson, my dad wants photos of the rifle. He says Grandpa wants to know who has what. The feds released a photo of the rifle, and it is very unique. He's calling me, RN, not answering. Robinson, since Trump got into office, my dad has been pretty diehard MAGA. Robinson, I'm going to turn myself in willingly. One of my neighbors here is a deputy for the sheriff. Again, you are all I worry about, love. That came from Robinson. Roommate, I'm much more worried about you. Robinson, don't talk to the media, please. Don't take any interviews or make any comments. If any police ask you questions, ask for a lawyer and stay silent.
Wild back and forth exchange between Tyler Robinson, the alleged shooter in this case, and his trans lover, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever they, however they are attempting to identify at this point, really kind of walking you through from the immediate aftermath of this shooting before the surveillance videos were released and before the manhunt really had kicked off into what we at least learned publicly what was going on behind the scenes. Very fascinating and really first time hearing a lot of that information from the Utah County Attorney. Now, of course, a lot of the question now is, what is this process going to look like? Robinson had his first appearance yesterday virtually via WebEx, a virtual appearance, pretty common, especially in more modern times. And the Utah Valley Attorney kind of walked through, including that first appearance yesterday and how this process is set to unfold going forward.
We don't have a grand jury system like the federal courts do. It's a preliminary hearing system. So the arrest and filing of the criminal information are merely the first steps in the criminal justice process. Today at 3 p.m., the defendant will appear before a judge in the Utah 4th District Court for his first appearance to be informed of these charges and to ensure that he has an attorney to represent him. The hearing will be brief. The judge will conduct that first appearance virtually via WebEx. This is not unusual. In the 4th District, all felony first appearances for defendants who are in custody are held virtually. A link to that hearing is available for media on the Utah State Courts X account at Utah State Courts. Now, following defendant's first appearance, he will be entitled to a preliminary hearing. At that hearing, the state will be required to show probable cause that defendant committed the crimes. The purpose of the preliminary hearing is not to determine guilt, but simply to assure the court that the prosecution has enough evidence to proceed to trial. If a judge finds probable cause and binds the case over for trial, an arraignment hearing will be held. At that hearing, a judge will again inform defendant of the charges against him and require him to enter a plea to each charge. The next step following the arraignment is an opportunity for the parties to file any relevant motions and then ultimately the trial itself. This case has generated a tremendous amount of interest across our nation and even the world. The public's desire for information is understandable. But it bears reiterating that this case will be tried in a court of law consistent with our Constitution, not the court of public opinion.
That's the Utah County prosecutor speaking yesterday at a press conference. It ran long, about a 30-minute or so press conference, walking through some of the timeline. There was a lot more in there that was kind of repeat information for those that have been listening to the show. So I skipped through part of that. The text message exchange back and forth between Robinson and his transgender roommate lover is fascinating. The fact that he thought that he could just walk away from the scene, even though he left a gun, left a shirt or a blanket or a towel or something that the firearm was wrapped in, left DNA all over the place, walking up and down the stairs, touching the handrail, just goes to show you the mental instability and really the incompetent nature of the individual that is alleged in this murder here. So first appearance happened yesterday. There is set to be another hearing on September the 29th. So that'll be coming up about a week and a half from now. The 29th is the last Monday of the month. That is when Tyler Robinson will be back in court. And I think that's when that preliminary hearing is going to take place and a judge will rule whether this can continue to move forward if the state has its probable cause and has all of its ducks in a row. So that is all that we are likely to get, at least as of right now, until that hearing comes forward on the 29th. Great comment coming in on our Rumble live chat this morning. Very transparent. Glad the world is hearing the truth. Isn't it great? Let's be perfectly honest. Utah is about as red as it gets from a state standpoint. And it is so phenomenal to have the governor of Utah and Spencer Cox, who of course has been on the news a lot over the last few weeks, hearing this morning from the Utah County prosecutor. It's great when you've got people in charge, people in power that have some respect for the law, have some respect for the process. And that's what you have seen over the last 7 days. You've seen a very cool-headed, level response to what can only be described as a horrific situation, which should grip every single American, that should absolutely cause some level of change as it relates to the rhetoric and the things that people say about their political opposition. If this had happened in a Democrat-run state with a Democrat jurisdiction, God only knows what this would be looking like right now. God only knows, seriously, what you'd be told. It's almost unimaginable to think what that might look like. As we round out the show this Wednesday morning, I would like to remind you that today is Constitution Day as we celebrate the ratification of the United States Constitution. That is today, Wednesday, September the 17th, 2025. So if you see any commentary on social media, that is what's going on today. It is Constitution Day. I was planning to dive into some details on that, but obviously some more pressing issues taking place locally. So, happy Constitution Day across the United States, and thanks for spending some time with us here this morning. Well, that's going to do it for a Wednesday edition. Don't forget to reach out to the good folks over at the Law Group, lawgroupnc.com or 910-251-6088. The Nick Craig Show, streaming live weekday mornings, 7 a.m. Eastern, YouTube, Rumble, X, Facebook, and of course, 24/7, wherever you get your podcasts. We'll do it again tomorrow morning right here on the Nick Craig Show.